John chapter 10. And I want to just look at one verse as our text, and then we will look at this chapter a little more in depth. John chapter 10, verse 14. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "I am the good shepherd. And know my sheep, and am known of mine." This will be our divisions. Jesus Christ is the pastor who is God. He's the good shepherd. Secondly, Jesus Christ knows his sheep. He said, "I know my sheep." And thirdly, all his sheep shall know Jesus Christ. He said, "and am known of mine." This may come as an odd statement to say that Jesus Christ is the shepherd who is God, the pastor who is God. That's what the word shepherd means, pastor. I've titled the message, "The Pastor Who is God." The pastor who is God. He says here, "I am." God is the great I am. Do you remember when he sent Moses, what he said? When he sent Moses in Exodus 3 and verse 14, God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." Any servant of God that's sent is sent by the I am. And Christ says here, "I am. I am." He says here, "I am the good." Do you remember when the rich young ruler came to him and he said, "Good master"? He was saying that in his heart. The Lord knew his heart. And he was saying that in his heart, "Good master," as in good preacher or good teacher, just like you would say it of any other man. And the Lord called him on it. And the Lord said, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one." That is God. It's as if the Lord was saying, "Are you saying I'm God? Are you saying I'm God?" He is. He said, "I am the good shepherd." He is the pastor who is God. And look down at verse 15. This is what he says directly after this: "As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father." Look down at verse 30. "I and my Father are one." And those that heard him understood exactly what he was saying. They said in verse 33, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God." They understood him. They understood him. This is the pastor who is God. This word shepherd, meaning pastor. The Lord gave a parable here that's a simple illustration of a shepherd and sheep. A shepherd, a pastor, and his sheep. In the midst of the countryside, where the shepherds were keeping their sheep, a shepherd would have his flock of sheep. And there'd be a sheep fold where the shepherds would bring their flocks. And they would go into that sheep fold. And that sheep fold had a high wall around it to protect it, protect the sheep inside there. and it had one door, one way in, one way out, and it had a porter who kept the door. That was that person's job, to keep the door. In verse 1, the Lord says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Christ is the shepherd who entered this world to bring his sheep out of the fallen fold of humanity, to bring his sheep into the one fold of his kingdom. And Christ entered in by the door. He entered in by the lawful entrance into the fold. The children that he came to redeem were flesh and blood. And so Christ, who is God, the Son of God, he took upon him the likeness of sinful flesh. He was made of a woman. It had to be. It behooved him in all things to be made like unto his brethren. He came the lawful way. Christ came because his children were under the law. His children were dead in trespasses and in sins, guilty before God, and he came, therefore, and he was made under the law, just like they were under the law. Christ came because by one man's disobedience, many, every single one that Adam represented, were made guilty, died in him. And he came and obeyed in all points, so that by one, Christ Jesus, many, all that he represented, would be made the righteousness of God in him. Everyone he came for owed the wages of sin, which is death. And so Christ, in their room instead, laid down his life and paid the wages of sin, which is death. He answered the justice of God's, answered the justice of God and satisfied it. Verse 10, he said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." He has shed on us abundant grace, that they might have abundance of life. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not," they don't belong to him, "he seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and he scatters the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd." Christ Jesus the Lord is the good shepherd, the shepherd who is God, who will never, ever leave his flock, who will never, ever allow the wolf to enter in and harm his sheep, who will never, ever flee when danger comes, because he is the good shepherd, and his sheep are his own. They're his. They're his. And when he did this for his sheep, he made satisfaction to God. He entered in the door, the way. And when he did, he made satisfaction to God. Verse 3 says, "To him the porter openeth." Just like that porter would open that door when that shepherd came And he would say, yes, the sheep are yours. Come in. God the Father opened up the grave, and Christ came out of the grave, and Christ, the very presence of God, the very heavenly presence of this holy God, he opened it up to him and said, yes, come in. The sheep are yours. They're your sheep. He said in verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life. This is how we perceive the love of God, because he laid down his life. You know, love is really saving. Love is really conditioned upon power and ability to save. Love is conditioned upon all of the beauty and loveliness in the object of it. There's got to be some beauty in that object. There was no beauty in us for God to love us, but in his Son, robed in his Son, put in his Son, he's altogether lovely. And the Father loves him because he laid down his life for the sheep, and hereby we perceive his love because he laid down his life for the sheep. And from this, he tells us now in John 10:7, that having been said, and him entering in the sheepfold by the door, he says this in verse 7, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Look at verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The only way into God's presence is Christ Jesus, the door. We can't come through the law, because Christ has fulfilled the law, and the law now is swallowed up in him, so that we got to come in him. We can't come in any other way, because he is the one way which takes away all the other ways. He's that one door into his kingdom, his church, into his presence, into God's presence. Christ is that one way. It says here they'll go in and out and find pasture. I don't want to go in and out of Christ, do you? I don't want to go in and out of his kingdom. But if I'm going in and out of a place, it means I got liberty to go in and out. In and out. And that's what he's talking about here. He gives us liberty. Liberty out of bondage into liberty. Out of bondage into liberty. Where we find pasture. Where we find green pasture. He said, by me. By me. And everybody that tries to come some other way is a thief and a robber. If I start talking to you about, well, I did something by my will. That's another way. Well, at least I believed. That's another way. Well, at least you have to say, I'm full of good deeds now, and I don't do near the deeds I used to do. That's another way. Christ Jesus is the shepherd who is God and man in a glorified body, and He is the way. He is the door. Because He is the shepherd, the prophet, the priest, the king, who came in human flesh and saved His children out of the fold of depravity. Look now at this second point. He says in verse 14, I know my sheep. I know my sheep. Look at verse 3. It says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. They hear his voice for this reason. Here's why they hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. You see, in a fold, there'd be cattle that belonged to other farmers. But when that shepherd came to that fold, he knew his sheep. And he called his sheep. And his sheep would hear his voice. And he led out his sheep. He didn't lead out somebody else's sheep. He led out his sheep because they were his sheep. He's not a thief and a robber. He's not going to take sheep that aren't his. He leads out his sheep. Christ knows his sheep. Now listen to this. As one with him. He knows his sheep as one with him, even as the Father and the Son are one. And this is by divine election. Look at verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep. He said, I'm the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. How do you know your sheep? As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. That's how he knows his sheep. He didn't lay down his life. The good shepherd did not lay down his life for those he did not know. Do we understand that? He didn't lay down his life in hopes that some would become his sheep. He didn't lay down his life in hopes that maybe somebody would feel real sorry for all the suffering he bore and they'd say, you know what, I'm gonna go over here with this fella. I feel sorry for him. No, he died for his sheep. He knew his sheep. Those given him of the Father by the electing grace. Listen to what Jeremiah said, or the Lord said to Jeremiah. You could turn there if you'd like. Jeremiah 1:5. The Lord said, before I formed thee and in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I set you apart. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. You see, the foundation, the sure seal is this. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Universal atonement that says Christ died for all men. We looked at this Friday night in the Bible study with the children and went through and just looked at verses in the Scripture that use the word all so that we could see what these verses declare. All. Caesar Augustus proclaimed a tax unto all in all the world. In all the parameters and all the boundaries of that world in which he was the king, he imposed a tax. Universal atonement is a false gospel because it makes man's knowing Christ to be the cause of effectual redemption. The Lord didn't say here, first, I'm known of mine. He said, I know my sheep. I know my sheep. He has to know his sheep first. Do you remember what Paul told the Galatians? Brethren, now that you know the Lord, or rather have been known of the Lord, it makes the cause of effectual redemption to be man's will. Christ laid down His life for His sheep because they were in Him, as God the Father and God the Son are in each other. Because He knew His sheep, He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. Secondly, He knows where sheep are. We're looking at how He knows His sheep. He knows where His sheep are. Because that woman at the well lived in Samaria, He said, we must needs go through Samaria. Because Lydia was in Macedonia, Paul was forbidden to go anywhere else. And Paul said, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. He was standing among Jews. He was standing among religious Pharisees when he was, and who he was speaking to. And he had just called out a blind beggar in the middle of them. But he didn't call out that beggar's mother and father. He left them in the synagogue. He didn't call out the Pharisees in the synagogue. He left them in the synagogue. He didn't call out those men that were standing there that were given the charge, that were some kind of leaders in the synagogue, and they were given the charge to escort that blind man out and kick him out, tell him never come up back again. And the Lord stood right there and gave that blind man spiritual life, and he didn't say a word to those other men. And he said, as he stood there in Israel, in verse 16, he said, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, which are not in Israel. And he said, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Can you picture that shepherd coming to that fold and being able to look into that fold and say, that's my sheep. That's my sheep. That's not my sheep. That one's mine. That one's mine. That one's mine. And say to them, Emma, Melinda, Eric, Pete, Jaime, Sharon, Kathy, follow me. And all of them just coming right together and following him, and him just leading them right on out. Ezekiel, he said, Ezekiel 34:22, therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. Either God's a liar, or God does what he says he does. But this morning, I want you to see this, that knowing means even more than these things we've been looking at. Knowing is how the good shepherd makes his sheep to believe on him and follow him. Verse 27, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. The first thing that's going to happen is the sheep are going to hear his voice. It's going to have to be a voice speaking. The Lord Jesus Christ comes to each of His sheep individually, and He speaks. He knows their names. Just like He said, Zacchaeus, come down. Levi, follow me. Lazarus, come forth. And it's still Christ the Good Shepherd who's speaking. It's still the voice of Him that's speaking to His sheep personally every time He speaks through one of His messengers, whom He's directed like He did Paul, and makes their path cross with one of His sheep. That Ethiopian eunuch was on the backside of nowhere. He had taken the road that was cut off now, and they had a new bypass that went straight to where he was going, and he had taken that old way and was taking his time going home and was just sitting down there in the middle of nowhere where there wasn't anything but a bunch of old court motels that are just grown up with grass now because no traffic goes by there anymore and all the people went out of business. A place where the sidewalks that used to be in the little towns that used to be thriving little towns now just sort of dwindled down to nothing because the traffic doesn't go through there anymore. It's just little one-horse towns. And he was sitting there reading, and Philip came up to him. just happened to go that same way too. By the sovereign, omnipotent, all-knowing purpose of God, Philip went that way too. And he said, do you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch said, how can I except some man guide me? And Philip preached the gospel to him, and God saved him. God saved him. Same thing happened to Lydia with Paul. And fact is, since Christ arose and sent the Holy Ghost throughout the New Testament, throughout the book of Acts, Paul is the one exception because he was an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. But every one of Christ's sheep were called through the messenger he sent with his doctrine. You see, we're looking at the doctrine of Christ. Who's teaching here? Christ is. This is his doctrine. This is what he says. This is how he does things. This is the doctrine that declares him to be the Son of God. Deny it, and we deny that. See that? He said, my sheep hear my voice. And he said there, and I know them. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Adam knew his wife Eve. And you know what happened when he knew his wife Eve? She conceived and bare a son. The Spirit of God, just like that porter, opens the door. When Christ sends his gospel, the Spirit of God opens the heart's door. And Christ enters in intimate union with his sheep. And when he does, he knows his sheep, and there is a conception by the incorruptible seed, and there is life. Life. And he says, and they follow me. You know what repentance is? Repentance is leaving everything and following Christ. Repentance is doing the leaving, turning from it all. And faith is following him. Following him. Unregenerate men like to think that it's their believing on Christ that makes them sheep. This is why free will as opposed to invincible grace is a lie. Again, it puts things in the hand of the creature. It puts the creature above the Creator. He's the Creator. I'm talking about of new life. Look here at verse 26. The Lord says, but ye believe not. Because ye are not my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Faith that makes man a sheep of God is nothing more than a work. It's what it is. It's a work. Do you want God to have all the glory? This is what makes sons of God. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to his good pleasure, the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Galatians 4:6 says, and because ye are sons, when as yet dead in trespasses and in sins, because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son. There's the triune God. God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. You see that? A man's faith is not what makes him one of God's sheep. Faith is the fruit of God making him one of his sheep. Well, here's the last thing. All his sheep shall know Jesus Christ. He says, and am known of mine. Look back at verse 4. When he putteth forth his own sheep. Now he's called them. He knew them. He called them. They heard his voice. And they followed him out. And it says, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, when he brings them out of that former fold they were in, He goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. They know his voice. 1 John 2. I want to show you a couple of scriptures in 1 John that I think are important. And then we'll wind this up. 1 John 2. Look at verse 20. Ye have an unction from the Holy One. This is what we're talking about. We hear His voice. I was telling Scott and Eric that last night, we were talking Friday night, and I said, I don't know exactly what unction is, but I do know this. I've preached loud. I've preached quiet. I've preached very close to my notes, and I've preached very freely without my notes. And I'm persuaded unction don't have a thing to do with any of those things. Not any of those things. Because in each case, there's been times when there wasn't anything between me and God. That's unction. He said, you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I've not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. That's so simple. No lies of the truth. What makes it a lie? It's not true. Not true. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? That's what untruth is. That's what lies are. It's denying that Jesus is the Christ. He's anti-Christ. He is anti-Christ that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which you've heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he's promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Seduce you. You're not going to be seduced by an ugly woman. You're going to be seduced by a very attractive woman. Them that seduce you are going to be very attractive. That false gospel. But you, the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and it is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. John was teaching them, wasn't he? He was a man teaching them, but he was saying that because Christ is the pastor who is God. But through his Spirit teaching you, that anointing's going to abide in his sheep. They're going to follow him. Our text says there's not one sheep ever that was ever deceived, and there shall not ever be one sheep that's deceived by false prophets. He said in verse 5, John 10:5, a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. In verse 8, he said, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. There was a lot of false prophets then, just like always have been, just like they are more now. And they increase. There's never been a sheep of God who followed them. Ever. And won't ever be. Won't ever be. There shall be one fold and one shepherd. Here's why they won't. You got to look at this, Isaiah 52:6. I know we got company. Isaiah 52:6. You see, the glory in this goes to Christ. If we don't bow to Christ, the pastor who is God, we'll say, no, that's not so. But look here, this is how the glory is. This is why there's one fold and one shepherd. The shepherd and all his sheep see eye to eye. Look here, because of him. Verse 6. Therefore, my people shall know my name. This, everything Christ is telling us is his name. This is what declares him to be the Son of God. We deny any of this work that he says that he does. And we deny that he's the Son of God come in human flesh. We deny him. We're anti-Christ. All you got to be anti-Christ is to be anti-Christ getting all the glory. And you're anti-Christ. But here's, therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. Well, how's he going to speak? How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. That's what Christ is saying in our text. Thy God reigneth. And he's saying, and here I am. Standing before you, and his preachers that he sends come forth, and they say, thy God reigneth. He does this. He does this. Why do they say that? And why does he bring them into this one fold? And how is it they're all folded together? Verse 8. Thy watchmen, that's who they are, his under-shepherds, his witnesses, all of them, shall lift up the voice with the voice together, with his voice, because his voice is doing the speaking in them. I and my Father are one, and he's one in his people. And because he is, they lift up the voice. And it's his voice that's being lifted up. It's him that's speaking. You behold, it's I that speaketh. And they lift up the voice. And they lift up, each one of them, lift up their voice together in harmony, saying the same thing about this one Redeemer, because he's speaking in each one of them. And look, for they shall see eye to eye, when the Lord shall bring again Zion. And that's exactly why the Jews took up stones and stoned him. They said, thou being a man, makest thyself God. You see, this gospel declares he's God. And that's why the enmity, the true enmity, that's how it's revealed. You know, if you just tell somebody God's trying to do something and make it just a little bit as if God is dependent upon you for something, you will never see any hatred for God from anybody. Not at all. Because that God is not even worthy to be hated. That God is the creature. And that God is serving the creature. So why would the creature ever become angry? But when you preach this gospel, and this is why false prophets won't preach it, because people get angry. People get angry. But when you preach it, they will pick up stones to stone the Savior. If not literally, in their hearts, because there's enmity against God. These men, you see, what had happened was, here's why. These fellas had a hope that was of them that they had gotten before they ever heard the gospel preached. They had a hope before Christ ever came to them and preached the gospel to them. And because that hope glorified something that they had done, when Christ spoke to them and they heard the truth of how God saves sinners, they would not let go of their glory, because that would mean turning from it and giving the divine shepherd all the glory. And a man can't do that, not even God's sheep, until this pastor who is God speaks into our heart and makes this so. He told them, if you were blind, you wouldn't have any sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. Now, try to get you to stay at 1 John. I've got to get you to look at this. 2 John. 2 John 1:7. This doctrine, 2 John 1:7, this doctrine, I said to you before, Christ is speaking. Right? This was the pastor who is God, who is speaking in everything he said. So this is, without a doubt, the doctrine of Christ. It's the doctrine that declares him. It's the doctrine taught by him. This is the doctrine of Christ we're hearing in this passage. It is the doctrine of Christ. And everything about this doctrine declared Christ to be the Son of God in human flesh. Christ come. That's what it declared, this doctrine. And this is the doctrine that whereby Christ speaks and saves his people. You can't understand a person's name without knowing them. And you can't know them unless you hear about them. And you can't hear about them unless this one who wants his sheep to hear about him sends a man to declare everything about him. And when he does that, he saves in his doctrine, and his people have an unction and they abide in that doctrine. And those who don't, who say no, universal atonement now, it's not a lie. I know no lies of the truth, but it's not really a lie. God saves through it. Well, let's see. 2 John 1:7. Many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. You know what the Pharisees were that stoned him? Antichrist. They were antichrist, being God come in human flesh and working the works he says he works. Antichrist being that. Antichrist saving in the way God says he saves in his word. Because they had a glory prior to hearing this gospel. They wouldn't let it go. They wouldn't let it go. Look at this now. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought. In other words, look to yourselves that you don't lose the gospel that's been preached unto you, wherein you've been saved, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Right this minute, everybody who hears this word, this doctrine that Christ himself taught us, right here. Everybody that heard this doctrine, Christ taught us. I am the good shepherd. He is God, the pastor of his sheep. I know my sheep. He knows them as one with the Father, as he's one with the Father. He knows where they are. And he comes and knows them intimately and makes them alive. And am known of my sheep. Not one will follow a stranger. They will follow him. This declares his name. It declares he's God. It declares the glory that only God can perform. It declares the glory of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in the man Christ Jesus. This is what it does. And we know right now in our hearts, we are either gathering up stones and saying, because that's stripping away my refuge of lies. my refuge. I've been trying to stretch out on them. And if I would just admit I've never, ever had any peace from it, I just keep being going from one, to and fro. I never had any real peace from this. Never been planted, never been settled, never been sit down to where I'm just settled. This is the gospel. I'm not moving a hide nor hair from here. This is it. You know, if that's the case, if you're picking up stones in your heart, or if right now you're sitting there and you're thinking, he's just emptying your hands of every stone and filling your hearts by his grace and making you to fall down at his feet in thanksgiving and say with that blind man, herein is a marvelous thing. You've revealed yourself to me. Nobody from nowhere, and you've made me to know you. Everybody here knows where they stand in their heart. And for you who are sheep of God, look at this last verse, John 10:28. Hear his voice to you now. This is what he says to his sheep. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any seducer pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. That's my God. Thy God reigneth. Amen.